Good morning. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. I know we did. We got our whole family together at Brent and Chris's. We had a lot of good food and joyful Thanksgiving Day. And the message today, I want to keep in the spirit of Thanksgiving. In the world, on Thanksgiving Day, I believe that a lot of the prayers of Thanksgiving that the people give is for physical things. And I know we do that too. I want to read a couple here. I was kind of curious about that. I just thought that perhaps on the internet there might be some prayers of Thanksgiving that I could copy down and give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Thanksgiving prayers. The first one is called Child's Thanksgiving Prayer. It says, "Thank you, God, for all that grows. Thank you for the sky's rainbows. Thank you for the stars that shine. Thank you for these friends of mine. Thank you for the moon and sun. Thank you, God, for all you've done." Very nice prayer, but all physical things. There was another Thanksgiving prayer, and there was two versions of it, so I copied down the shorter version. But it says, "We're slaves to the smell of food unload." And he says, "We must rush our prayers before the food gets cold. But Lord, I'd like to take a few minutes more to really give thanks for what I'm thankful for. For my family, my health, a nice soft bed, my friends, my freedom, a roof over my head." Now, one more that was written back in the 1800s, Thanksgiving prayer, says, "We're thankful for each new morning with its light, for rest and shelter of the night, for health and food, for love and friends, for everything that goodness sends." That was by Ralph Waldo Emerson, who died in 1882. Well, I have three spiritual blessings I want to talk about. I know there's a lot more than that. If you're thinking of any spiritual blessings in your mind, yours may not be the same as mine, and that's all right. I don't think what I picked out is more important than any of the other ones, because there are many. But I wanted to talk about three spiritual blessings that God has given us. And the first one I think that everyone here probably would think of first too, and that is our calling, how God has opened our minds and called us. And I remember the first day when I knew that God opens our minds. And I knew that it wasn't just my understanding. I was reading a booklet, a pamphlet, maybe you probably remember these, and it was on the crucifixion and the resurrection. I'm not sure we had even started the church. We may have, but it was right when we were new in the church. And the booklet was bringing out where in the world they teach that Christ was crucified on Friday and resurrected on Sunday. And then it went on to show how that back at that time, the 3 days and three nights will not work in a Friday and a Sunday resurrection, because that's only one day and two nights. And Christ said that as Noah was in the fish's belly, that he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So the booklet went on to explain that at that particular time, that Wednesday was the day of the crucifixion, which we all know. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. And that Sabbath that they took Christ down before the Sabbath, that was a high Sabbath, as John said in the book of John. That was not a weekly Sabbath. And we know that when the women went to the tomb, the first of the week that he was already risen because he rose the night before. Well, when I was reading that, and it was so clear to me, I could understand it, and I wondered to myself, why don't these ministers in the world, they go to schools, seminaries, they go there to learn about the Bible. Why don't they get this? It's so clear. And I was fairly naive at the time, and like I said, this was when we first came in the church, and back then I used to think the Pope was a religious person, next to God, actually. That was how people thought of him. And I remember thinking to myself, why doesn't the Pope get this? I just couldn't understand why they don't get it. Well, then I understood God opens our mind, and I am thankful for that. I have one verse I want to look to about this, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Now that's true for the world. It has not entered their mind. They don't understand it. But let's go on to verse 10. It says, "But God has revealed them to us." Who is the us? Well, in the very first verse, Paul says, "And I, brethren." He's talking to the brethren. He says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." In verse 12, it says, "And now we have received," the brethren, "we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So the only way we understand and know God's truth is because God opens our minds, and I am thankful for that. The second spiritual blessing that I put down here is that we know the true God. Now, we all know people in the world that go to Sunday church every Sunday, and we know some of those people are good people. Matter of fact, some of them can put us to shame in the way that they give, in the way that they help others, and the way that they share. And they don't have the true Christ, though. They don't know the true Christ. They show their Christ as having long hair. He was born in the winter. He did away with God's commandments. He did away with the Sabbath and the holy days. And as I mentioned before, their Christ was crucified on Friday and then resurrected on Sunday. He takes his saved to heaven, and the sinners, they go to hell for all eternity. Now, because God opened our minds, we know these things are not true. Let's go to Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9. And we'll start in 23. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. "Thus says the Lord God, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, the true God, the living God." The one that in the book of Isaiah says several times, "I am God and there is none like me. I am God and there is none else." This is the God that we know. We can be very thankful for that. Now, the third spiritual blessing that I put down is one that is very important to all of us, and it's not one that I think that we think about that much. However, It is mentioned in the Bible several times in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that is that our names are written in the book of life. Now, let's go to Luke 10. I have a couple of verses I'm going to look at about the book of life. But let's go to Luke 10. Luke 10, starting in verse 17. Now, Christ had sent out 70 disciples, and now they returned. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." He says, "Behold," he says, "I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you by any means." He says, "Nevertheless," he says, "don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Don't rejoice because you can cast out demons." He says, "But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." How often do we think about that? How often are we thankful to God that our names are written in heaven? Back in the book of Revelations, the book of life is mentioned 7 times in the book of Revelations. I want to go to Revelations 21. And it's the very last verse in Revelations 21. This is talking about the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the city that Moses seen, Abraham seen. "But there shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie." The only thing that's going to enter this is those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. If you look at the very last verse in 20, the very last verse in Revelations 20, it says there, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." How important is it that our name's in the book of life? Well, if it's not there, we won't be in God's kingdom. We'll end up in the lake of fire. So in conclusion, I just want to say that Thanksgiving Day comes once a year, and we have a great time on it. But for a Christian, for us, as Dan mentioned last week in his sermonette, that we are to be thankful every day. So Thanksgiving Day comes every day for a Christian. So think about all of the spiritual blessings that God has given us, and there are many of them. There's God's grace, his forgiveness, there's the kingdom of God, there's God's word, spiritual word God has given to us. So think about all the spiritual blessings and have a great year of giving thanks.